come and deliver the word.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. You can be seated for just a moment. Good to have Trent with us again, all the way from Brother Cooley's there in College Station area. Good to have him in service with us. Amen. Good to have. He was able to come and fellowship with us the other night. Had a good time at Chili's. Hung out, talked. He hung out with a lot of us, college and career age. And so, good to have you back in Nacogdoches, my friend. Amen. I'm excited about what God is doing. I want to ask Brother Corbett to come real quick before I get into a lesson. And I want him to testify real quick just about our jail ministry. I know y'all like an update. And I know y'all hear my voice enough tonight. So I'm going to have Brother Corbett come. I didn't prep him this time, but just give an update on jail, brother.
Well, we had church today. I tell everybody, you know, I go to between 3, 5, and 6 church services every Thursday because it depends on how the jail goes. But unfortunately, somebody got long-winded in there, which I'm accusing myself of, but I gave what God had me to give to the people in the jail. And you know what? There were people in there that were touched and moved on, but we had church. And it's like we tell them when they come in, can you see the chandeliers? Can you feel the ceiling fans? More importantly, you can feel God in those church services. And I'm just thrilled to death at what God's doing and allowing me to help in. And I just really appreciate what he's done for me.
Amen. We try to get them to feel like they're not at jail, even though they're at jail. That's hard to do. But when they come into our services, we want them to have a transition when they walk to that door from I'm in locked up in Nacogdoches County to I'm in church. And so they'll even joke back with us now. They're like, you feel the cool air? And, you know, they got a sense of humor. They're good guys, some of them, you know. And so we have a great time. And we had 3 services today, and God moved. And so we're excited about that. I want to give honor to Pastor in his absence. Give honor to my pastor and Sister Crosswhite. I believe they'll be back in town, of course, for Sunday service. But they're still out of town, so keep praying for them. God's hand of protection on them. And I also want to give honor to Brother Savala. Good to have you back in town for a little while, Brother Savala. Good to see you. Amen. All right, at this time, I'd like to go to the Word of the Lord. If we can turn our Bibles to Proverbs, chapter 22, beginning at verse number 17 through 21. I'm going to be teaching a lesson. This is lesson 48. I have some printouts for you, about 20 copies up here. If you'd like it at the end of service, you're more than welcome to get it. But this is out of Brother Crawford Coon's book of Apostolic Foundations. And so if you would like a copy of this lesson, they're up here for you to get and take home with you. If you don't want them, leave them. I can give them out at the jail. Those guys like them, and they want them. I just don't want to see them in the pews or in the garbage. So, but if you would like them, please take them and enjoy the lesson. So Proverbs 22, beginning at verse number 17, says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in God, may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee." You can be seated. Let's pray over this lesson. Lord, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to bring this lesson, Lord, to your people. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. An outstanding Bible scholar and teacher by the name of J.T. Payne, who pastored many years in Portadale, Georgia, passed from this life on October 7th, 1987. Shortly after his death, the following note was found in his Bible. It says, this lesson is awesome. I was going through it with Brother Will, and this is what I felt, but it's amazing. It's some of the things you'll hear today, and I'll try to point them out. Trust is a dimension beyond faith. Faith will see miracles, but trust will carry you through when you can't understand why faith didn't work. Not always can faith deliver from the den of lions, but it's trust that will be able to keep you. Not only faith will deliver you from the valley of the shadow of death, but trust will carry you through the valley. Upon sharing with me the events surrounding Brother Payne's death from cancer, Sister Payne gave a copy of this note she had found in his Bible. From this brief but powerful message, Brother Crawford was inspired and motivated to study and write on the subject of trust. And our lesson today is learning to trust God. Learning to trust God. We can say, oh, I trust him. We can say that all we want, but when you're in the valley, when it's your health that's on the line, when it's you in the den, do you really trust him? Do you really trust him? And so, realizing, make sure I find my spot. So I was inspired and motivated to study and write on this subject of trust, realizing the value of acquiring these essential positions in and towards Christ. I purpose to learn more about trusting God. Allow me to share with you in this lesson, amen, what I believe about this vital element that we all need, and that is trust. So what is trust? Since our subject appears both in the New Testament and Old, let us look at the root word, the root words that are translated by our English word, trust. Now, I'm not going to try to say all these. I looked them up, and I tried in my office, and they still didn't sound right, so they're not going to sound right out here, but I'm going to try my best. So the Hebrew terms is kasad, to flee for protection, to confide in, to have hope, to make refuge. Batal, to hie for refuge. To hie means to go quickly, to hasten, to go fast, speedily. So to go fast for refuge, to go quickly for refuge, to be confident or sure and hope. Yashal, to wait, to be patient, hope, tarry, to stay. Mibtak, a refuge, security, assurance, confidence, and hope. Maksal, y'all will get the lesson and y'all can try to read them later. These are very hard words. A shelter, hope, or refuge. And then it gives you the Greek words. And you know, we have to trust God because he is our refuge. He is our strength. And he is our shelter. You wouldn't go to a little shack and say, oh, I'm getting away from a tornado. Why? Because you don't trust it to stand. You'd go to a shelter, a storm shelter. Why is it when we get in a hard time or when we get in a tough time, we run to things that we really don't trust? We run to maybe a bottle or a pill or something else instead of trusting in God. We've got to build our trust. Just like we wouldn't run to that old rickety shack to be hid from a tornado, why do we run to those things that we know that aren't really going to work? We need to run to God. He is our refuge and our strength. So the Greek terms, elpezo, to expect or confide, to hope. Phytho, to convince, pacify, or consolate, to rely, believe, have confidence, and make a friend. Pistuo, to have faith and trust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. Believe, commit, to put in trust with. And pepothiasis is reliance, confidence, and trust. Back to English. Webster's Dictionary. Trust is confidence and reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principles of another person or thing. Number two, one who or that which is trusted. Number three, something entrusted to a person, a charge, duty, etc. When we examine these terms and definitions, it becomes clear that trust is an ingredient in life that we all want to acquire. Since trust is a learned art and we need to be taught how to trust, pursue with me this valuable commodity. We need to learn to trust God. Learning to trust. Trust is not an inherent characteristic or trait of humans. Due to Adam's fall, which subsequently plunged us all in the abyss of sin, people inherently distrust. Why? Simply because Satan has lied to us about both spiritual and physical death. You don't distrust somebody when you go to them. They have to earn your trust. If I meet somebody, I don't trust them automatically. Why? I don't know them. They have to gain my trust. And so we all have that nature to distrust before we ever trust. Why? Because it's in us from the beginning. Because Adam and Eve, the fall. And so simply because Satan has lied to us about both spiritual and physical death, nothing creates distrust quicker than deceit. And this is exactly what happened to Adam and Eve along with the rest of the human race. Satan deceived them. One of Satan's greatest ploys and most effective tactics is to cause people not to trust God. In essence, he says, "You can't believe what God says to Eve." He said, "Ye shall not surely die," although God had emphatically stated otherwise in Genesis. Listening to Satan results in blatant distrust towards everything and everybody. Which voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of the enemy that will lead you away from God? Are you listening to his word? Are you listening to his word? Amen. For such nature and background, God has worked with humans and produced a plan whereby they can learn to trust again. In such a frame of reference, it becomes unquestionable that God's word can be depended upon, whereas Satan's cannot. But how many times do we listen to the devil? It's because the devil will tell you what you want to hear. God will tell you what you need to hear. The devil will tickle your ears and say all these sweet things, and God will tell you, no, you don't need that. But you've got to trust in God. His word will never fail you. His word is right. Pastor will tell you all the time, 9 times out of 9, always right. And if you're doing something that's against the word of God, then it's wrong. You can trust his word to always be right. And so, from such nature and background, God has worked with humans and produced a plan whereby they can learn to trust again. In such a frame of reference, it becomes unquestionable that God's word can be depended upon, whereas Satan's cannot. Through the maze of satanic influences, we must somehow learn the invaluable lesson of trust. While there are many avenues through which we may acquire trust in God, there are three major ones are at our disposal, and one is God's word. Studying the track record of someone or something in which we can possibly trust can become a basis for our decision. After examining something we know they are not worthy of our trust, some things we know they are not worthy of our trust, whereas others build confidence in our heart and mind. The Bible is one of the most valuable instructors available to teach us how and whom to trust. Proverbs 22 establishes stepping stones to trust. We are to lend our ear and hear the words of the wise. Hearing God's word is a prerequisite to faith, and faith is a prerequisite to trust. First, in our journey, we must hear God's word. We must hear God's words. God's word. Next, we are to apply our hearts to God's knowledge. Truth must enter into our hearts and be believed and accepted as fact. God's word is fact. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. It's not a maybe. It's not if it fits what I want. It's not to be twisted to fit to what you want. God's word is fact. We can't take a scripture out of context just to make it what we need for that moment to go do what we want, but we need to take God's word as truth. And so, God's word is fact. Retention of the word is essential. We must keep it within and hide it in our hearts. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Verse 18, we must then speak God's word verbally and mentally in our self-talk, that thy trust may be in the Lord. We cannot acquire trust in God without absolute confidence in his word. If we follow these steps with the word, trust in God will be established in our lives. And our personal experience, serving God will bring encounters with all types of experiences. And from this, we will learn to trust in God. Trials, sickness, hurts, disappointments will come, but they will not destroy us if we are determined to be saved. And they will not develop in us a deep, and they will develop in us a deep abiding sense of confidence and trust. After nearly 40 years, Brother Crawford lived for the Lord and things like that. He trusted in God. And so, excuse me. After nearly 40 years of leading Israel, David, in reflecting upon his battles, knew whom he could unquestionably trust. He had been betrayed by a son, trusted counselors and friends, but he could say of God, "In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence," in 2 Samuel 2, 22 and 3. Personal experiences of walking with him over 35 years for Brother Crawford has taught him that he could surely trust in God through everything and instruction. Arriving at this point of being able to trust God could be accomplished so quicker if we would only learn from others. God has blessed most of us with parents, elders, ministers, friends in our lives from whom we can learn valuable lessons of trust. Now, as a young person, we could really learn from that. If I would have listened to my dad, how many of y'all have ever said that? If I would have trusted my father, I wouldn't have got myself in this mess. But yet you wanted to go and experience it for yourself. Or you may have raised in church. I wasn't. If I would have listened to my pastor. If I would have listened to the elder in my life. He warned me of those things. He told me of what was to come. I heard it said like this, and it's sad to say it, but I was a hard-headed teenager at one time, and I had a Sunday school teacher that was trying to help me, and he was trying to guide me and show me, and he let me go through the trial. And this is what he told me after it was all over, and you know, God had helped me through it. He said, "Son," he said, "you were so hard-headed." He said, "you wouldn't listen. I just had to step back and let you fall and be there to help you up." It shouldn't be that way. We all make mistakes. That's a story of my own. But if we'll trust and listen, we can learn from the voices of the elders in our life, from other ones. If we can learn a whole lot quicker. I would have rather had listened than have fallen, but unfortunately, I took the harder route, and I had to learn a lesson. I want to tell you today, everybody under the sound of my voice, listen to those voices that try to help you. Don't push them away just because it's something you want to do. I know it's hard to listen sometimes, but it's better to. If not, they might do like their brother did and say, "Hey, you know what? I just had to let you fall and help you back up." But at least he was there for me. And so we got to learn to listen and trust God. Amen. So receiving instruction from others based on God's word and their experiences can be a shortcut to our goal if we will only listen. Trust in a great measure can be learned through instruction in Ephesians 1:13. Learning to trust God is one of the greatest truths we could ever learn. So many have been sidetracked in the destructive field of distrust. Let us beware lest this tragedy befall us. Distrust is one of the most miserable, debasing spirits we can allow to live in our mind and heart. Suspicion, fear, separation, seclusion, and cynicism are the lot of those who distrust. If events and circumstances in your life have given birth to distrust, by all means, rise above them and walk again in the light and quietness of truth, of trust. Faith versus trust. Faith is an essential element we must have in coming to God and pleasing God. In Hebrews 11 and 6. Faith is also a necessary ingredient and foundation upon which to build trust in God. It is possible to have faith in God while not trusting Him completely. However, it is impossible to trust God without first having faith in Him. Therefore, faith becomes a preliminary step in establishing trust in God. Trust is a step beyond and a dimension deeper than faith. Many can believe who cannot trust. Therefore, when their faith does not produce the desired results, they despair. Trust stabilizes and secures us when we do not receive what we have asked and thought we had faith for. Let that sink in. Trust stabilizes and secures us when we do not receive what we have asked and thought we had faith for. When combined, faith and trust are powerful allies. Trust will sustain you in what faith does not deliver us from. Trust holds faith in place. Doubt displaces faith, while trust resists and gives no place to doubt, thereby anchoring our faith in God. When our faith does not alter our circumstances, trust enables us to accept life as it is. Remember, faith is a catalyst that projects and propels us towards and into trust. When we return faith in God, it will measure into trust. Trust then keeps us from becoming bitter when our requests are not granted. We got to trust God through it all. If you're sick and never got a healing, just trust God. My mother-in-law, never got to meet her, had cancer. She served God. She's a pastor's wife through it all. Even when she had people that gave her a word, oh, God's going to heal you. And it never came. She trusted God. Even when it took her life, she trusted God. Trust is going to keep you. You can have faith. You know, I got faith that God's going to work a miracle in my life. But if not, that trust is going to keep. I'm going to still trust in Him. I'm going to still live in, for Him. I'm going to still walk with Him. Consider these contrasts in faith and trust. Faith expects things. Trust accepts things. Faith produces change. Trust submits to unchanged conditions. Faith reaches. Trust retains. Faith rushes. Trust waits. Faith is believing while trust is knowing. Trust is the ultimate relationship between humans and God. Nothing supersedes it. Notice from the following examples how trust kept people when faith did not deliver them. Keep in mind that there was no flaw in their faith, but with their faith they had trust. We look at Daniel. He was a great man of faith, but it was trust in God that caused him to submit to being thrown in the lion's den. In him, we see faith and trust combined can be accomplished. James and Peter, one was delivered, the other one was beheaded. Simon Peter's faith coupled with that of the church delivered him, but when James was beheaded, he needed and had trust in Acts. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faith caused them to declare that God was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace. Trust caused them to say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And Daniel and Paul, faith secured him in the experience of 1 Corinthians 11, while trust caused him to pen the words in 2 Timothy. Trust never stands alone without faith, for faith is the essential cornerstone upon which it stands. We have presented nothing here without the idea of lessening the importance of faith. My objective is to challenge you to walk the high road of trust when you feel that your faith has not produced what you requested. Walk the high road of trust when you feel your faith has not produced what you requested. When prayers are not answered and you wish as you wish, do not abandon your faith. Just simply trust him. Instructions to trusting. God's highest desire for us is that we trust him. Knowing our ability to trust and the ingredients necessary for us to do so. God has given us some instructions relative to trust. Strangely enough, some things can elicit our trust while they are unworthy of it. God, in his wisdom, knows that certain thing can and will deceive us, and so warns us not to trust in them. Heeding his word on these points is in our best interest. We are not to trust in riches. It's in Mark, Timothy, and Psalms. We are not to trust in idols. In Isaiah, Exodus, and John. We are not to trust in ourselves. We are not to trust in ourselves. Ourselves will get us in trouble. Don't trust yourself, because you'll do what you want to do. Trust your pastor in that moment. Amen. We are not to trust in ourselves. Along with these pointed instructions, God warns us against becoming overconfident and trusting human devices and other deceitful things. Over and over again, God admonishes us to trust in him, to trust in him and his word. God and his word are trustworthy, deserving of our trust and confidence at all times, regardless of what befalls us. In summary, miracles such as the one where the loaves and fishes were multiplied bring out throngs of followers. Trust follows when there are no loaves and fishes, when the storm rages, and when it seems that all the world is against us. Trust is unaffected by circumstance. It is the highway upon which the confident tread. Distrust is a wretched state in which to live, and those who do so have little, if any, faith in anything or anyone. While spending their life in suspicion, fear, and anger, certainly we must all learn that some people are not worthy of trust, but we should never allow isolated instances of hurt or to drive us into the shell of distrust. Trust is a powerful sedative for the soul, calming fears and easing tensions. It enables us to accept life and walk confidently with God, regardless of what happens. Trust is not tender or easily intimidated, and when perfected in us, nothing can daunt it. It is a heat shield against satanic attacks, releasing powerful faith. Never is it affected by the outcome. Trust is unaffected by environment, war, peace, poverty, prosperity, sickness, health, life, and death. All of life's contrasts become fuel for trust. It requires no insight. It thrives in crisis, demands no signs, wonders, or miracles in order to operate. Trust is quiet. It is youthful, seeks no changes in circumstances, abounds in the shadows, reigns in darkness, needs no recognition, wears no crown, and seeks no throne. It is the silent, unseen fortress of the soul for those who possess it. Trust has no restrictions, limitations, or demands. It is not predicated on results, lives without ifs, attachments, or amendments. Trust is worthy treatment, despairs, cure, fears, remedy, fears, remedy, anxiety's balm, and life's healer. Oh, the trust of the old refrain, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Job said it like this: trust gave his testimony of how he felt about God. May it be yours and mine. It's Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Amen. On the back of this lesson, there are some questions. If you want to do it, it's up here for you. But as we close, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this lesson. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Trust in God in everything. Trust in him. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Let's go to heaven. How? Together. There's lessons up here. You can come and get them if you want them. The Chubbs.